The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Good morning. Welcome to your Tuesday morning briefing. Here's what you need to know to start your day with your host, former Saturday Night Live superstar Joe Piscopo, produced by Frank Morano, with news guy Al Gattulo, and traffic with Debbie Duhaime. This is the Joe Piscopo Show on AM 970, The Answer.
This year, no sign of snow around. And yet I go around hearing jingle bells ringing in my ear. Your promise must be the reason.
Ah, the great Seth MacFarlane singing Christmas Dreaming. These days, a lot of people know Seth MacFarlane from his work on Family Guy or his time hosting the Academy Awards, but he actually, as you could hear here, is a terrific singer. I want to thank a gentleman named Rich that just called, and you're welcome to give us a call as well at 877-970-2999. And I'm sorry, there were a bunch of people calling simultaneously, so those of you that we couldn't get to, call back and we'll get you on the air. Rich asked how to make a donation to the Salvation Army. All you have to do is go to team970.org. I'm Frank Morano, sitting in for Joe Piscopo, and that's really the reason that I'm here today, is to ask you to make a little bit of a donation to the Salvation Army, and we want to ring the bell for Kathleen Holt, who made a very generous donation, and if we had 100 more people like Kathleen Holt, trust me, we would be in great shape in terms of feeding some very hungry children this year. We also want to ring the bell for William Bram, who made a donation as well, and for Joseph Liptak, who made a very generous donation, and someone who was anonymous, which is fine, too. So if you want to make a donation, you can go to team970.org. If you want to talk to me, you're welcome to give me a call at 877-970-2999. Our guy Mike Porcelli is very kind to come in this morning on a holiday. I'm sure his wife's ready to kill him, and or maybe she's happy to have him out of the house. I don't know, and answer your calls. Now, in the meantime, we're going to talk about the Christmas truce in just a few minutes, but in the meantime, we are listening back to 1981's WMCA Christmas Carol. Now, when we last left them, Mark Simone, playing the Ghost of Christmas Present, was taking Ebenezer Scrooge, played by Bob Grant, around town to see what was happening on Christmas.
This one directly below it.
Indeed it is. Who may I ask lives here?
An underpaid clerk named Bob Cratchit.
The Bob Cratchit that works for me?
The very same.
That woman, those children.
His wife and family.
Why, that's Cratchit coming up the stairs now. He's carrying a young boy.
His youngest child, Tiny Tim.
The child carries a crutch.
Because he is crippled.
But the doctors.
Cratchit cannot afford a doctor, not on 15 shillings a week.
Oh, but.
Shh, listen.
Good afternoon, everyone.
And the most Merry Christmas.
Father, Tiny Tim.
Merry Christmas. Welcome. Tiny Tim, sit next to me. Father, let me take your muffler.
And how did Tiny Tim behave at the church?
As good as gold and better.
I was glad to be able to go to church. That's because I wanted the people to see I was a cripple.
Now that's a peculiar thing to say, Tiny Tim.
No, it isn't. That's because I was in God's house, and it was God who made the blind able to see and the lame able to walk. And when the people at church saw me in my crutch, I was hoping they would think of what God can do, and they would say a prayer for me.
I'm certain they prayed for you.
And one of these days, I'm going to get well, and that'll mean I can throw away this crutch and run and play like the other boys.
You will, Tim, one of these days. And now, Mother, the big question. When will dinner be ready?
It's ready now, just about the finest goose you've ever seen. Martha, you carry it in. And Tom, you fetch the potatoes and turnips. And Dick, set the chairs around the table.
And I'll sit between Mother and Father.
And this is going to be the best Christmas dinner anyone could hope for. I'm the luckiest man in the world, having such a fine family.
It isn't a very big goose, is it? I could eat the whole bird myself, I believe.
It's all Bob Cratchit can afford. His family doesn't complain. To them, that meager goose is a sumptuous banquet. But more important, much more important, Ebenezer.
Yes?
They're a happy and united group. Look at their shining faces. Listen to them.
What a superb dinner we've had. The tempting meat, the delicious dressing.
And the plum pudding, Father. Don't forget that.
The pudding was the greatest success achieved by Mrs. Cratchit since her marriage.
Thank you for the compliment. I must confess, it was good.
And now for the crowning touch, the punch.
Oh, the punch. Good. Good. Wonderful. Punch. Oh, love punch. Great.
Here we are. Get your glasses.
So, the members of the Cratchit family clink glasses in a Christmas toast.
First to the founder of this feast, the man who made it possible, I give you Mr. Scrooge.
Mr. Scrooge, indeed. Oh, I wish I had him here. I'd give him a piece of my mind to feast upon, and I hope he'd have a good appetite for it.
My dear, the children, remember this is Christmas Day.
He's a hard, stingy, unfeeling man. Now, you know he is, Robert. You know better than anyone.
My dear, remember Christmas Day.
Oh, I'm sorry. Very well. I'll drink to his health. Long life to him. A Merry Christmas to him. To Mr. Scrooge.
To Mr. Scrooge.
And now a toast to us. A Merry Christmas to us all. God bless us.
God bless us, everyone.
Spirit, tell me, will Tiny Tim live?
I see a vacant seat in the chimney corner and a crutch without an owner, carefully preserved. If these shadows remain unaltered by the future, the child will die.
Oh, no, no. Oh, no, kind spirit. Say that he will live, that he will be spared.
Why concern yourself with him? Isn't it better that he die and decrease the surplus population?
Oh, but these poor people must be helped.
Are there no prisons? And the workhouses, are they still in operation?
Do not taunt me.
Come, it's time for us to go.
I wish to remain.
I can remain no longer. Touch my robe and we shall go.
The wind begins to howl again, and Ebenezer Scrooge shortly finds himself standing outside his lodging. A heavy snow is falling, blanketing a sleeping London. There's a steeple bell. It is still early Christmas morning.
Ebenezer. Ebenezer Scrooge.
You are the third and the last.
I am the ghost of Christmas yet to come.
You are about to show me shadows of the things that have not happened but will happen in time before us. Is that so, Spirit?
Yes, Ebenezer.
I fear what I am to see.
But Scrooge's fear meant nothing to the ghost. And as the wind rose up, they ventured into the night once again.
Why do we stop here on this street corner, Spirit?
Those people standing there, do you know them?
Why, yes, I do business with them.
Their conversation is interesting.
When did he die?
Last night, I believe.
I thought he'd never die.
What has he done with his money?
I haven't heard. Left it to his company, perhaps. Well, one thing is certain, he didn't leave it to charity.
Are you going to his funeral?
Well, not unless there's a free lunch provided.
A very good point. Can't say that I blame you.
Spirit, this dead man they were discussing, who is he?
I will show you. Come into this room with me. There is a bed in front of you. On it lies a man. That is, the body of a man. One of those gentlemen on the street we're talking about.
And no one has come to claim his body?
No one, for he left not a friend behind him. Come closer and look into his face.
No! I would if I could, but I haven't the power.
Then follow me, Ebenezer Scrooge, to yet another scene.
Look here, Joe. Here's our chance.
You're not going to take his things, are you?
Why not? He won't miss him, not a dead man.
No, I suppose not.
Every person has a right to take care of themselves. He always did. Now open that bundle, Joe, and tell me the value of it.
What do you call this, bed curtains?
Ah, bed curtains. Don't drop that oil upon the blankets now.
His blankets?
Who else's? He isn't likely to be cold without them, I dare say.
Oh, spirit, let me see some tenderness connected with death. If I don't, that lonely body in the dark room will ever haunt me.
Yes, I know of such a home, one where there is tenderness connected with death. Over here, on the poor street, and in this dismal house.
But this house? What? Why, yes, I've been here before. Bob Cratchit, my clerk, lives here. There is Mrs. Cratchit and her oldest daughter, Martha.
Your eyes, Mother, you'll strain them working in this bad light.
Oh, I'll stop for a while. I wouldn't want to show red, tired eyes to your father when he comes home. Say, it's time he was here.
Past it, rather, but these days he walks slower than he used to, Mother.
Well, I have known him to walk with Tiny Tim upon his shoulders very fast, indeed. He was very light to carry, and your father loved him, so it was no trouble. There's someone at the door, Martha. It must be your father.
I'll let him in. Hello, Father. You look tired.
You're late tonight, Robert.
Yes, I'm late.
I'll get some tea for you.
Thank you, Martha.
You went to the grave today?
Yes, I wish you could have gone. It would have done you good to see how green a place it was.
I'll see it soon.
I promised him I would walk there every Sunday, my poor Tiny Tim. At last he's rid of his crutch.
Yes, at last. Our poor Tiny Tim.
Scrooge turned from the Cratchit family with an anguished cry.
Oh, tell me, Spirit, why did Tiny Tim have to die?
Come, there is still another place to visit. When you see the next place I am taking you, perhaps you will understand.
Is this a graveyard? Why do we stop here?
Look at that tombstone. Read the name on it.
Before I do, answer me one question. Are these the shadows of things that will be, or are they the shadows of things that may be?
Read the inscription on the tombstone.
It reads, Ebenezer Scrooge. No, Spirit! Oh, no, no, no! Hear me! I am not the man I was. I will not be like the man you have just shown me. I will honor Christmas!
Are you certain of this?
Oh, yes. I will try to keep it alive all the year. I will live in the past, the present, and the future. I will not shut out the lesson that all three spirits have taught me. Oh, tell me there is hope, that I may rub away the writing on this stone.
We shall soon see.
Tell me there is hope that I may rub away the writing on this stone. What am I holding on to? The bedpost. I'm in my own bed. Home. Those bells. It must be Christmas. I wonder if it really is.
Scrooge ran to the window, and as he did, the sound of church bells filled the room.
You, boy, down there.
Yes, sir. Did you call me, sir?
What day is today, lad?
Today? Why, Christmas Day.
And to think the spirits have done it all in one night.
What did you say, sir?
Do you know the poulterers on the next street?
I should say so.
An intelligent boy. A remarkable boy. Do you know whether they've sold the prize turkey that was in the window?
The one as big as me?
Oh, delightful boy. Yes, the one as big as you.
It's hanging there now.
Go and buy it. I am in earnest. Here is the money. Catch! Deliver it to Bob Cratchit on Golden Street in Camden Town.
But, sir, there'll be considerable change left over.
Keep it, lad.
Oh, thank you, sir.
Don't let Mr. Cratchit know who sent the turkey. It's a surprise. And, lad...
Yes, sir?
A very Merry Christmas to you.
This was just the first of many good things that Scrooge would do for people this Christmas Day. Filled with good cheer and blessed with the Christmas spirit, he set out to make up for all the years that he had neglected.
Who could that be at the door? Why,
Bless my soul, Uncle!
Yes, yes it is, Fred. Your Uncle Scrooge. I've come for Christmas dinner. Now, let me in. I have a present for your good wife. From now on, I'm going to be one of your most persistent guests. I've changed, my boy. You'll see.
The next morning, Scrooge arrived at his office before his usual time to await Bob Cratchit's arrival.
He's late. The day after Christmas, Bob Cratchit's late for work.
Here he comes.
Well, now, Cratchit, what do you mean by coming in so late this morning?
I'm very sorry, Mr. Scrooge. I beg your pardon, I'm sure. I know I'm a few minutes late.
18 and a half minutes, to be precise. Step this way, Cratchit, if you please. I'm not going to stand for this sort of thing any longer. And so, I am about to raise your salary.
Mr. Scrooge.
A Merry Christmas, Bob. A merrier Christmas than I have given you in a long year. I shall raise your salary and do all I can to help you and your family, especially Tiny Tim. Now, make up the fire and buy another scuttle of coal before you dot another I.
Scrooge was better than his word. He did everything he promised and infinitely more. He became a regular visitor to his nephew's home and even took Fred into business with him. He raised Bob Cratchit's salary to a figure that left the bewildered gentleman gasping. And to Tiny Tim, who did not die, he was a second father. He provided doctors for the little lad. And very soon, Tiny Tim will have his wish. He will be able to throw away his crutch and run and play like the other boys. As for the three spirits, Ebenezer Scrooge never saw them again. That was due to the unchallengeable fact that Scrooge, for the rest of his days, helped keep alive the spirit of Christmas. And so, as Tiny Tim observed,
God bless us, everyone.
I tell you, I still love that. I've heard it so many times, and I know the story so many times, and I've seen so many film versions of the story. I still love it. It still gets to me. And the part of it that I love the most, and good morning, if you're just tuning in, this is Frank Morano. You're listening to the Joe Piscopo Show. You have been listening to the 1981 version of WMCA's A Christmas Carol featuring my old friend Bob Grant, who I grew up listening to and admiring and was a huge fan of and I miss dearly. And the part of it that really gets to me most is the gratitude on the part of the Cratchit family. And they have every reason to not be grateful. You know, they have a child with a disability. They don't have very much money. They don't have very much food to eat. And they're still toasting this mean old boss, Ebenezer Scrooge. It still gets to me. It's really quite inspiring. And I want to thank somebody that was also as good as his word, Richard Lampeter, who made a donation to the Salvation Army. Thank you. As did Roger Sabo. A couple of great anonymous donations as well. If you want to help us feed a family like the Cratchits, you can go to team970.org. When we come back, we're going to talk about the Christmas truce. Let me squeeze in one quick call here. Arlene is calling from the Upper East Side. Good morning, Arlene. Merry Christmas.
Good morning, Frank. I just want to tell you that, you know, I'm president of the fan club of the show. You are a mensch, a gentleman. You have a kind, soft voice. You always say the right thing without hurting anyone's feelings. And the last thing I have to say, besides happy, healthy holidays, your wife, Rachel, is a very lucky girl.
You're very kind to say so. You're one president, Arlene, that I hope never gets impeached. No, trust me, if you've ever met Rachel or spent any time with her, you'd know that the luck has run one way in our relationship, and that luck is all mine. They say lucky in love, unlucky in craps. That's certainly true in my case. Thank you, Arlene. Merry Christmas to you. All right, we'll talk about the Christmas truce next with David Pietruzza. This is AM 970 The Answer. I'm Frank Morano sitting in for Joe Piscopo.
Stuck in traffic? We've got the answer.
It's 42 degrees under clear skies in New York. What's going on? We have the answer.
Harlem River Drive southbound, that's going to be a little bit on the heavy side between the 3rd Avenue Bridge and the Willis Avenue Bridge. Just volume, though. Nothing to panic over. In Brooklyn, we still see some delays on the Gowanus Expressway eastbound between the Prospect Expressway, that's exit 24, and Cadman Plaza. Again, it's just volume. In Queens, LIE is going to be slow westbound between Woodhaven Boulevard and the 80th Street ramp. No apparent reason. Again, we're just seeing some lots of traffic out there. Now, if you're in New Jersey, an earlier crash on the northbound parkway just over the Driscoll Bridge near exit 127 in Edison, that has been cleared and traffic is moving forward freely now. Turnpike's in pretty decent shape. In Jersey City, watch out for a crash 109 southbound right at the Pulaski Skyway at Broadway. The left lane is blocked. Doing pretty well overall at the GW Bridge, Lincoln and Holland Tunnels. Not too bad a ride for you into and out of Westchester at the Tappan Zee Bridge. I'm Kristen North on AM 970, The Answer.
Sponsored by Exergen. The brutal cold and flu season is upon us, and the number one flu symptom is fever. So use a thermometer that's proven accurate by more than 80 clinical studies. The Exergen Thermometer. See our educational video at exergen.com.
I'm Charles Payne, and this is the Fox Business Report.
Stock futures are trending higher ahead of the opening bell today. Christmas Eve means a shortened day on Wall Street. This after the Dow hit a record yet again on Monday, rising 96 points. The NASDAQ and S&P 500 also hitting all-time highs. Shares of Boeing jumping on Monday after the company said its CEO has resigned. This amid the ongoing trouble with its grounded 737 MAX jets. The Security and Exchange Commission opening an investigation into BMW. People familiar say the SEC looking into whether the German luxury car maker manipulated sales figures. Speaking of sales figures, the Great White Way making big bucks this week. Broadway's season-to-date sales totals passing the $1 billion mark. Hot shows right now are The West Side Story and Christmas Carol. That's your Fox Business Report. I'm Tom Graham, invested in you.
Guys, waking up over and over to pee is not okay. You can reduce those nighttime bathroom trips with the ingredients in Super Beta Prostate P3 Advanced. You can try a full 30-day bottle free. Just pay shipping and handling. No strings attached, no obligations, and no commitments to buy. Call 1-800-424-7125. 1-800-424-7125. 1-800-424-7125.
Hi, Kevin McCullough. Have you ever had a legal question pertaining to elder law or estate law? Well, every Thursday during Kevin McCullough Radio, you hear from Mike Connors of Connors & Sullivan Attorneys at Law answering a listener's actual question. Simply email that question to askmikeconnors@gmail.com or call Mike's office at 718-238-6500. And don't forget to tune in to Ask the Lawyer with Mike Connors Saturday mornings at 8 a.m. on AM 570 The Mission and Sunday mornings on AM 970 The Answer at 11.
If it's happening in New York, New Jersey, or Long Island,
hear about it with Joe Piscopo.
Mornings 6 to 10 on AM 970, The Answer.
Portions of this show sponsored by Hudson Honda.
Well, yes, that is the acclaimed Rock and Roll Hall of Famer, Grammy Award winner, Presidential Medal of Freedom winner, I think even a Nobel Prize winner, Bob Dylan, with his hit Christmas song, Must Be Santa. A Christmas song that doesn't seem to be played nearly enough this time of year. You hear that Mariah Carey song, you hear Jingle Bell Rock, you hear all those Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, you hear Baby It's Cold Outside, for those of you that are politically incorrect. But you never hear this song. I think it's pretty catchy. But I might be in the minority. All right. Frank Morano here on AM 970, The Answer. Speaking of being in the minority, I am someone that actually enjoys meeting with friends and families, friends and family members at the holidays, especially Thanksgiving and Christmas Eve and Christmas Day, but really every holiday, and hearing all about people's different political views, because I really enjoy hearing people's political perspectives. And my favorite thing to do, especially, I used to have two uncles, one of whom passed away. One was very conservative, one was very liberal, and I used to love to moderate discussions between the two of them around the family dinner table or the family table of any sort. And you really just learn so much about why people feel the way they do, why people believe the way they do. And the sad thing is, though, that in the last few years, really since President Trump was elected, the arguments have gotten so vicious, the dichotomy in people's views so pronounced, and the anger in which people discuss politics is at some points really frightening, and at others has actually caused family members to not want to go to family functions this holiday season. And I think that is a real, real shame. And just to show you that sometimes, I don't know, warring entities can stop what they're doing for a little while and get along for a bit, I thought it might behoove us to look back at the Christmas truce of 1914. And who better to do that with than one of my favorite historians? He's an award-winning, noted historian and author, David Piatruzza. David, thank you so much for joining me on the radio this morning. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you.
So the Christmas truce of 1914, what was that? Let's start with the basics.
Well, the basics is there's a world war going on. It just started in August. People thought it would be over quickly. The Germans certainly did, because they had marched into Paris in just a matter of weeks in 1870, and they do it again in 1940. So that was their plan in 1914, and it didn't work. They got stuck on a 300-mile line of trenches going from the North Sea to the Swiss border, and facing them were the French and the Belgians and the British. And the killing had already started, and it was just a miserable way to fight and live in those trenches because, well, particularly in the British sector, the water table was if you dug down a foot or 3.5 feet at the most, your trench would start filling up with water. Mm. And so it's freezing, it's terrible. And in November and December of 1914, you've got the majority of the deaths on that front coming from pneumonia and coming from trench foot and gangrene and amputations. It's pretty horrible. But Christmas is still in the air. You know, we're still a Christian religious society in Europe at that point. The Pope, there's a new Pope in town, Benedict XV, who calls for a Christmas truce. And the Germans say, Jawohl, we will do that. The British are saying, well, we will defer to our French allies. And the French are really ticked off at the Germans for any number of reasons, since they keep getting invaded by them. And they say, no, we're not going to do that. But, you know, when we talk about a truce, it's really not one truce. It's not some overriding thing. It's something very spontaneous.
So the Pope Benedict XV, he actually asked these warring nations 5 months into one of the worst wars in the history of human civilization. He actually says, why don't you guys take a break from the fighting and call a truce? And the soldiers themselves do.
They do, not the high command. And it starts soldier by soldier. It really starts in force on Christmas Eve. When the German high command had sent Christmas trees, little tiny Christmas trees to the front, and the Germans light them up.
Wow.
And the British see across the lines. The lines are very close. You know, one of the reasons you can have a truce like this is because these guys have been living very near to their opponents now for several months. So they could hear the other side, what they're talking about. They can call over to the other side. 80,000 Germans had been living in Britain prior to the outbreak of war. Many of them go back. and they are quite familiar with English customs, with the English language. So these Christmas trees are being lit up on Christmas Eve, and the British are looking at them, and they're not familiar with Christmas trees at that point, and they think maybe an attack is coming. Maybe it's some sort of a trick. And then they hear Stille Nacht. They hear Silent Night. They hear that the Germans love to sing. They love mass choirs. Think of those Wagnerian choruses, et cetera, et cetera. And so they hear this, and they start answering back in English, Silent Night. Or they might say it's a long way from Tipperary. And the Germans might start singing that back. And so the ice is broken, so to speak, on that Christmas Eve. And then the next day, one by one, soldiers pop their heads up above the trenches, which is very, very dangerous because you could get your head blown off by an enemy sniper. And they say, let us have a truce. And it may start out as previous truces had been, where it was to simply bury the dead. A lot of casualties would be taken. A lot of bodies would be lying in no man's land, and you had to do something with them. So you might have a truce before that, but it would not be fraternal. It would not be real camaraderie, and it will be that in 1914, Christmas Day.
So, and if people just tuning in, we're talking with noted historian David Pietrus about the Christmas truce of 1914. So there had been sort of truces out of practicality to let each side retrieve their dead and bury their dead, but there hadn't been prior to 1914 any of these instances where you had warring troops singing at one another or Christmas caroling together?
Very rarely. There's one in the Napoleonic Wars in the Iberian Peninsula that we know about, which is really very friendly and people exchanging things. But, usually it's just stopping fighting. And that goes back all the way to ancient times. It goes back to medieval times with the truce of God, the peace of God, where you wouldn't attack this person or that person, a clergyman, a merchant, a woman, a child, or you wouldn't attack on Sunday. Then it goes to Friday and Saturday and various feast days and Ember days. And so at the end of that, you were only able to fight 80 days a year.
And what sort of fraternization went on during the Christmas truce, beyond the singing and beyond the Germans lighting up Christmas trees? What were the German and British troops doing together, if anything?
They're having their pictures taken together. Cameras had been banned on the front lines, but you ban something and people get around that. Mm-hmm. They play soccer together.
Wow.
And in many instances, there's only one where they have a real ball. Otherwise, they're kicking around. They're kicking the can around or they're kicking around a duffel bag. And they are exchanging presents and gifts because the front lines on both sides were flooded with gifts. The British royal family, the German royal family were sending, the British got 1,000 cigarettes apiece. And the Germans got pipes and cigars, and they snip off the buttons from their uniforms and trade those.
Wow.
There's one spectacular incident where a German exchanges his ornamental spiked helmet for 2 tins of what the British call bully beef, 2 cans of corned beef. And then he comes back the next day and says, I need my helmet back. We're having a full dress parade. I must have it. And the British say, oh, no, mate. You've already eaten that bully beef. You're not getting a helmet. And it's like, no. I need this and I will bring it back. And they give it to him. And he does bring it back. And that's the level of human trust, which is established very, very momentarily on those front lines. They also exchange, the Germans give the personal effects of a British officer who had fallen into their trenches, fallen dead, and give that to the family of the British, or to be forwarded to the family of that British officer. And a German enlisted man gives a letter to be transmitted to his girlfriend in Britain.
This is so difficult to believe these days, to think that people that are trying to kill each other by day could be singing Christmas carols, playing soccer, and exchanging gifts when it comes time for Christmas to be there. But this actually happened. How do we know that this happened?
Oh, it's very well documented. Aside from the photographs, which were printed very quickly in British newspapers. And that's one way that the German high command found out about it. They got the word from the British press eventually, and wartime diaries, letters, and then you get the reminiscences of many of these guys decades later. But you really have a lot of contemporary accounts of this. The British army, the German army, the officers, they want to crack down on this. They do not want this to happen again because it could break down their entire war effort.
So is that why there weren't subsequent Christmas truces after 1914?
Yes, the high commands were very much on alert for that. And if anything was going to break out, you would be court-martialed.
Wow. Did a lot of the German troops speak English? Were they able to speak in a common tongue?
Yes. A lot of those guys who had been in Britain before, those 80,000 Germans went back, fought for their fatherland. One of them who went back was Adolf Hitler's half-brother, Alois Hitler. He had married an Irish woman while living in Britain. And Hitler himself was on the front lines, but was not into the that truce. He was a bit warlike and obstreperous even then.
I can imagine. A leopard can't change its spots. And now, how many troops are we talking about here on both the British and the German side? How many troops do we think participated in this sort of Christmas revelry?
Probably thousands. We don't fully know for sure, but it seems to be happening all up and down the British front lines. And it's happening with the British largely, and it's happening with Saxon regiments and Bavarians, not so much with Prussian regiments. It is not happening very much with the French. There's a movie which came out in 2005, which was a French production, which plays up the French role in this. But really, there was so much enmity there that it was not happening on that sector of the front line, which was much longer. But it is not inconsequential, and it's a substantial amount of guys.
And now, just again to reiterate, I mean, France was largely a Catholic country as well. Why did those troops not participate in this?
It's a Catholic country, but it's a secular government.
Mm.
Recall the agreement of 1905, which kind of gives some more freedom to the church, but also recall how Notre Dame Cathedral burned recently, and we learned in America, or we're reminded, that the church did not own that church. The government owned it. So it was a very secular, anti-religious government.
Yeah, well, that's wild. It's fascinating. Did any subsequent conflicts after World War I that Americans might be familiar with have anything similar to this Christmas truce?
Yeah. At the Battle of the Bulge, there's a German baker's family which is living in Belgium. He's away fighting with the Wehrmacht, and a bunch of lost American soldiers wander in and are given shelter by this German family. And then another lost battalion shows up, and they're Germans. And the wife, the mother there, says, "You two will not fight. You will spend Christmas together, and you will not kill each other." And the German troops end up treating a wounded American soldier, and they go off on their way. But in my lifetime in Vietnam, there were Christmas truces. And in 1965, Senator Robert Kennedy of New York was calling for a Christmas truce. And the Vietnamese themselves would have truces during their big Tet holiday, their New Year. But that was spectacularly broken by the North Vietnamese in that big Tet offensive.
Yeah, you know, I've seen a lot of sporting events and been a participant in several sporting events that can tend to get pretty heated and lead to some arguments. I wonder how heated those soccer matches between the German and the British got, and if they ever threatened to cancel that truce and go back to shooting one another.
No, most of the scores, oddly enough, were 3-2. We know of one where a German officer refereed, and the Germans won that. But they were, you know, kind of just knocking the ball around and having a good time. There are no great rules. You might have 60 guys on a side. Okay, that'll tell you how many people were fighting or not fighting that day. But, you know, everyone was in a pretty good mood. I mean, not everyone. And then, of course, how it's going to break down and when do you stop the peace and start the war again?
No, it's very interesting. Well, David, thank you for the history lesson this morning. I hope we can talk again soon.
Okay. Thank you, Frank, and a Merry Christmas to you and your listeners.
All right. So there you have it. Keep in mind, during World War One and some of these other conflicts, people would take a break from killing one another for Christmas. If they could take a break from trying to kill their adversary, you could take a break from screaming at your cousin or your uncle and just enjoy Christmas Eve or Christmas Day or both. If you want to comment on any portion of my conversation with David Pietruzza, you're welcome to give me a call at 877-970-2999. That's 877-970-2999. This is Frank Marino on AM 970, The Answer.
News, opinion, passion. This is AM 970, The Answer.
It's 42 degrees under clear skies in New York. What's going on? We have the answer. There's a call for officials to do more after a report shows some New York City yeshiva schools are not meeting basic education standards. Scott Pringle reports from a rally today on the matter.
A recently released Department of Education report shows more than two dozen yeshiva schools are not in compliance. In one case, investigators observed no instruction in basic math and English. Professor David Bloomfield specializes in education law.
It's time for the State Education Department to use all of its enforcement powers, including loss of funding, closure of these yeshivas, which are denying an education to their students.
Now, the city has asked for improvement plans and will do more inspections, but some here, like Naftali Moster, says
the city insists on pandering to yeshiva leaders.
At City Hall, Scott Pringle, NBC News Radio, New York.
A 13-year-old boy being charged in the killing of a Barnard College freshman in Manhattan was due in family court today. Earlier this month, Tessa Majors was killed in a robbery gone bad inside of Morningside Park. Police are still looking for a 14-year-old boy wanted in connection with the killing. A Queens man is dead after he was punched while defending his girlfriend. It happened on December 7th outside of a South Richmond Hill restaurant when 49-year-old Ishmael Bacchus was hit by 47-year-old Vish Sukram, knocking the injured man down. Bacchus' skull was cracked on the pavement and he died a week later in the hospital. Sukram has already been arrested and charged with assault, but it appears those charges could be upgraded. Checking your tri-state area traffic for today, tri-state area weather. For today, we're looking at clear skies, highs around 46 degrees. Tonight, clear skies, lows 30 degrees. And for Wednesday, partly sunny skies, highs around 43 degrees. Checking our traffic, we have a serious problem in Jersey City. It's a crash on 109 southbound at Pulaski Skyway at Broadway. The right lane is blocked, and the left lane has difficulties getting by, and traffic is backed up to Tunley Circle. Now you know how not to go. I'm Kristen. And north of 970 AM, The Answer.
Jingle bells, jingle all the way.
If you like Cats at Night, regularly heard on Wednesdays at 5 p.m., you'll love it this week as AM 970 proudly presents a Cats Family and Friends special Christmas edition. Tune in on Christmas Day and help celebrate the holidays with a John Cats special brand of love for the city. Christmas evening at 5 on AM 970, The Answer.
I love those jingle bells all the way.
Merry Christmas.
Are you a responsible person who finds yourself growing deeper in credit card debt? Then get ready for a toll-free number that will put you on a path to financial recovery. Trinity Debt Management will consolidate your accounts and work with your creditors. You'll save thousands and become debt-free for keeps. If your debt has you down, we should talk. Call Trinity at 1-800-990-6976. 1-800-990-6976. 1-800-990-6976.
Hi, this is Dennis Prager, and every week we do the Happiness Hour, the Male-Female Hour, and the Ultimate Issues Hour. Since 2010, we have done over 1,200 such segments. Now you can own every Happiness Hour, every Ultimate Issues Hour, and every Male-Female Hour since 2010. Until the end of the week, the complete bundle is 70% off. Go to PragerStore.com. That's PragerStore.com.
Event planner wanted by Angela and Z, Inc. in Astoria, New York. Need to consult with customers to determine objectives and requirements for events. Review event bills for accuracy and approve payment. Confer with staff at a chosen event site to coordinate details. Requirements, bachelor's degree in leisure studies, business, or related field. Mail resume to 25-32 Broadway, Astoria, New York, 11106, attention HR. Again, mail resume to 25-32 Broadway, Astoria, New York, 11106, attention HR.
Watch the Joe Piscopo live stream Tuesday mornings 6 to 10. Available on Facebook, YouTube, and AM970TheAnswer.com.
Live from the SmartWayToBuy.com studios.
Had come out in the First World War. The bloody Red Baron was flying once more. The Allied command ignored all of its men and called on Snoopy to do it again. Was the night before Christmas, 40 below, when Snoopy went up in search of his foe. He spied the Red Baron, fiercely they fought. With ice on his wings, Snoopy knew he was caught.
This is Snoopy's Christmas by the Royal Guardsmen, and yes, was based on the Christmas truce that we were just talking about with David Pietruzza. Frank Moreno sitting in for Joe Piscopo this morning. We're trying to raise some money for the Salvation Army, and I want to ring the bell for the most important donor that we've had to date. My mother, Stephanie Moreno, who is a wonderful woman, and I know is first of all, she's working today. And she just started a temporary job. She retired from her job of 31 years a couple of months ago, and she just started a temporary job. And she's working today, but I guarantee you she's working a lot harder on preparing for Christmas Day tomorrow. So she prepares a feast. I think we have four or five people over, maybe six at most. And she cooks for 40. No exaggeration. She cooks, and then she also caters. Hopefully she'll get some tips from David Burke, who's coming up in the 8 o'clock hour. Meantime, 877-970-2999 is our telephone number. Let me say hello to Claire on my hometown of Staten Island. Hello, Claire.
Hello. I wanted to give you another Christmas song about it's called Christmas in the Trenches by John McCutcheon.
Oh, I haven't heard that one.
Fabulous song. You've got to listen to that one.
I will. And it's about the Christmas truce?
Yes.
All right. I will check that out. Thank you, Claire. What are you doing
Happy
for Christmas?
Christmas.
Yes.
I'm going to shave my dog.
You're going to shave your dog?
Yeah.
How are you going to do that?
He's a little shih tzu. I have to shave his...
Oh, shave, not save. Got it. All right.
No,
well,
not save.
All right. Very good, Claire. Enjoy it. Best
Happy
to your
Christmas.
To your dog. Happy Christmas and Merry Christmas to you. 877-970-2999. We want you to go to team970.org and make a donation.
Stuck in traffic? We've got the answer.
It's 42 degrees under clear skies in New York. What's going on? We have the answer. Still seeing some heavy delays in Brooklyn. It's going to be on the Gowanus Expressway eastbound between the Prospect Expressway and Hamilton Avenue. That's exits 24 and exit 26. In Queens, we have delays if we're on the Van Wyck Expressway northbound. This is between Liberty Avenue and the area of Hillside Avenue. Again, it's all just volume, nothing to really worry about. GW Bridge is not doing too badly overall into and out of New Jersey. Lincoln and Holland Tunnels into and out of New York are both in fine shape. On On the parkway, northbound in Matawan, the express lane's approaching Cheesequake Service Park. We do have some delays because of a crash. An earlier crash still being worked on. This is going to be 1 and 9 southbound in Jersey City, right by the Pulaski Skyway at Broadway. Not a bad ride overall on the Tappan Zee Bridge into and out of Westchester County. Doing well on the Thruway, 287, 684, the Sawmill, and the Taconic Parkway. I'm Kristen North, AM 970, The Answer.
I want you to join AMAC, the Association for Mature American Citizens, the fastest-growing conservative 50-plus organization in the country. Stop supporting liberal agendas with the other senior organization. You know what I'm talking. You know the one I mean. The AARP. AMAC believes in and stands for the values that we care about: faith, family, freedom. AMAC is fighting for us. They're fighting against reckless government spending, the expanding scope of the federal government. They're pro-small business. They're for securing our borders. They support our military. They respect our vets. They stand for our flag. When you join AMAC for just $16 a year, you gain access to a growing list of benefits, including car insurance, roadside assistance, discounts on hotels, travel, cell phone plans, dental plans, so much more. All AMAC members get the AMAC bi-monthly magazine. Join right now, GallagherForAMAC.com, GallagherForAMAC.com, or call 855-624-6229, 855-624-6229 for AMAC.
Hi, I'm Dr. Eric Cole, former 10-year CIA veteran and former White House appointee. Did you know the biggest threat to you and your family's safety is not a nuclear threat or terrorism? The thing that should keep you up at night is the fact that an immense cyber attack is inevitable. The damage can range from losing your privacy to the extreme, like losing the grid and everything electric for days, weeks, or even months. But I am here to help you. Tune in every Saturday at 2 p.m. for Cyber 9/11 with Dr. Eric Cole, where I will talk to you about what you can do to protect you and your family. I am a media expert and regular on shows like Fox and Friends, Judge Jeanine Pirro, and many others as the go-to expert in the world of cyber safety. And I'll help you get started protecting yourself today. Email me at ecole@secureanchor.com for a free copy of my book, Online Danger. Tune in to Cyber 9/11 with me, Dr. Eric Cole, Saturdays at 2 p.m. before it's too late.
I love sharing my message about Relief Factor and Pete and Seth Talbot, the father and son team, who have brought pain relief to so many of us. I thought I was going to have to live with my lower back pain. Just part of getting older. I'm 59 years old. I had a hip replacement a few years ago. I had a spot in my lower back. I figured, yeah, I was always going to be there. Then I heard about Relief Factor on the radio. Decided to give it a try. In about 2 weeks of using it, within 2 weeks, I woke up one morning and realized my back pain is gone. If I forget to take Relief Factor, if I'm on a trip somewhere, for example, after 3 or 4 days, The pain starts creeping back. This is a wonderful product. It's made from wild-caught fish oils and botanicals. It's natural. It's not ibuprofen. It's not a prescription drug. Give it a try. The 3-week quick start costs $19.95. If after 3 weeks it isn't working for you, just notify Relief Factor. You're only out $19.95. What do you have to lose except the pain? ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com, or call 800-500-8384, 800-500-8384 for Relief Factor.
Did you go to Michael's of Brooklyn? Oh, man. Well, you're out in the hustle and bustle of everyone's favorite shopping season. You must stop by the one and only Michael's of Brooklyn, Avenue R and Nostrand, right there in Brooklyn, New York. On top of everything else they do, we want to let you know about their one-of-a-kind gift boxes. These are sensational. They make wonderful presents for family, friends, even corporate gift giving as well. Nothing says you appreciate your employees or even your boss, hello, like a Michael's of Brooklyn gift box. Now, everyone on your gift list can enjoy their pastas married with the same sauce they make at the restaurant right there at 2929 Avenue R in Brooklyn. The sauce that's made with all natural ingredients like imported Italian tomatoes, pure imported olive oil, hand-chopped fresh basil, garlic, and onion, huh? Shopping can work up an appetite. After securing the perfect gift, stay a while, treat yourself to lunch or dinner at Michael's of Brooklyn, one of the 5 best Italian restaurants in the United States of America, according to the Food Network. And the gift boxes are spectacular. Michael's of Brooklyn, serving the most authentic tastes of Italy for over 50 years.
Portions of this show sponsored by Route 22 Honda.
Christmas in the trenches, where the frost so bitter hung, frozen fields of
France where still no Christmas song was sung. Our family's back in England.
Yeah, this is Christmas in the Trenches. It's a pretty interesting song. It's a song, apparently, about the Christmas truce of 1914. It's a story, basically, told through the lens of a fictitious soldier, all about Christmas of 1914. Meantime, what's the weather going to be like today, Joe Lundberg? It looks like good news.
Yeah, a lot of sunshine today, and still mild temperatures, mid to upper 40s this afternoon. I'll take that. And, you know, if you like this quiet weather, we got it all the way through Thursday and probably Friday and Saturday as well. Temperatures each day are going to be in the 40s, so no problems the next 5 days.
So it will not be a white Christmas. Can you state that definitively?
No.
No, all
I
right.
can state that definitively. 100% chance of a brown Christmas, if you will, or a non-white Christmas, no matter how you want to slice it.
But it sounds like chances are pretty good that it'll be warm enough for a cigar this evening.
Oh, sure. All Maybe right. even out on the porch or the veranda.
Wonderful. Know. Thank you, Joe Lundberg. We'll check in with you next hour. And we'll check in with you. Love to hear your take on what you're doing for Christmas. 877-970-2999. Also, a shocking new poll that portrays New Yorkers in not the best light. I'll tell you what it is next. David Burke will be here. So will Mark Oppenheimer. I'm Frank Moreno. This is the Joe Piscopo Show.